Hey, thanks for joining us today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We are so glad that you found us today. I've got a question for you. Are you feeling stuck? Like maybe you've hit a wall and just nothing's moving forward? Well, you're not alone, and you're not without hope. You know, the Bible is full of people who faced impossible situations, like Mary, Noah, Job, even the Apostle Paul. And they all experienced one thing that changed everything, a breakthrough from God. So today, Pastor Rick continues his series called Seeking God for a Breakthrough. Rick's going to walk us through biblical accounts of faith, prayer, and perseverance, reminding us that God still moves in powerful ways. Whether you're in a season of waiting or searching for hope, this series offers encouragement and biblical truth to help you keep going and get the breakthrough you need. Well, I can't wait to get to today's message. So here's Rick with part one of a message called How to Pray a Breakthrough Prayer.
I want to talk to you this weekend about how do you pray a breakthrough prayer. I'm going to teach you how to pray for a breakthrough prayer in your life. Now, breakthrough prayer is different than any normal prayer. Normal prayer, you're saying, God, I need energy. God, I need strength. God, I need caffeine. God, I need wisdom. And you pray those kind of prayers all the time. Breakthrough prayers are not for everyday use. Breakthrough prayers are when you have a crisis in your life that is uncontrollable. Breakthrough prayers are when everything is going wrong and you can do nothing about it. When you need God to just step in. When you need to go home and clean your house, don't pray a breakthrough prayer. Just go home and clean your house. But when there's something beyond your scope, it's unknowable, it's unmanageable, it's uncontrollable, then you need to know how to pray a breakthrough prayer. The principles I'm going to teach you this weekend have changed my life. I've used them. This is how I pray. This is how I see God move mountains year after year after year. Now, one of the elements of a breakthrough prayer is actually thanking God in advance. And I need to explain this to you like this. If I were to call you up this afternoon and I would say, for your Christmas gift, I'm going to give you this year, I'm going to pay your mortgage for the next 12 months. And I've already put the check in the mail. Now, I've already given it, but you haven't received it yet. Does that make sense? So I've put the check in the mail, but you haven't got it yet. And there's that little delay. When do you start thanking me? After the check clears? Or would you thank me when I called you on the phone? And you say, Rick's an honest guy. He's got integrity. If he says it, he's not conning me. It's not a scam. It's not a job he's doing on me. And if Rick has promised, I'm going to pay your mortgage for the next 12 months, I haven't actually paid it, but you thank me in advance. You get that? That's just normal. This is what God wants you to do in prayer. And part of a breakthrough prayer, one of the five elements of a breakthrough prayer, is actually thanking God in advance. Now, I want you to notice on the top of your outline, Jesus said this in Mark chapter 11. Anytime you ask for anything in prayer, believe that you have received it and you will receive it. Now, I really want you to get this. Notice the change in tense here. Believe that you have received it. That's past tense. And you will receive it. That's future tense. I want you to read this verse aloud together, and I want you to emphasize the word have. Okay, let's read it together. Anytime you ask for anything in prayer, believe that you have received it and you will receive it. You say, wait a minute, I've got to believe I've got it in order to get it? Yep. That's called faith. I believe that I've got it already in order to get it. You're saying, you mean I got to believe a thing is so, even though it isn't so, so that it will become so? Yes. That's called faith. If I send you that check for the next 12 months, you haven't paid 12 months yet, but you start thanking me instantly. This is called faith. Now, this is the difference between gratitude and faith. Thanking God after he gives something is gratitude. Thanking God before he gives it is called faith. And in the breakthrough prayer, you need to have faith, not just gratitude. Thanking God after he's given you something, that's just gratitude. Lord, I appreciate what you've done. Thank you for this, thank you for that, thank you for all these things. But when you thank God in advance, before he's actually given it, you say, I know, I've asked for it, you've promised to give it to me, so I'm thanking you in advance. That's called faith. This is what you do when you keep praying for something over and over and over and over while you're waiting for God's timing. We'll talk a little bit about that in the future. The persistence is another part of prayer. What do you do? Do you have to just keep asking God, I want this, I want this, I want this, like you're wearing God down? No, no. You only need to ask God for it one time, but then in all your future prayers, while you're waiting for the check to arrive, you thank him. Does that make sense? So you don't have to keep going, please give it to me, please give it to me, please give it to me, please, like you're begging God. No, you just have to say, God, I want you to give this to me. You've promised in your word to give it to me. I'm going to teach you these five things. And then for the rest of the time until it arrives, you just thank God. That's faith. Now, Abraham did this. God told Abraham, you're going to have a son and you're going to be the father of many nations. Abraham started thanking God immediately. God, thank you that you're giving me a son. Thank you that I have a son. He even changed his name to father of many nations. You know how many years he thanked God before he got his first son? 25 years. That's a long time to thank God. God's timing was perfect. He was actually 100 years old when that baby was born. So it was a flat-out miracle. When I started Saddleback Church many years ago, for 13 years, I thanked God that he had given us a piece of land, the first piece of land, the Lake Forest campus, long before we ever had it. But for 13 years, I wasn't saying, give us land, give us land, give us land, give us a building. I was saying, Lord, I asked for that the first year, and at 13 years, I just thanked God for it in advance. That's part of a breakthrough prayer. Now, the best example of a breakthrough prayer is in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I've taught on this passage before, but it fits so perfectly, and we need to come back to this text. In fact, last week, I read you the first five verses of this. It's about a guy named Jehoshaphat. He's a king in Israel, and three enemy nations decide to tag team and come up against him, and three enemy armies are coming against Israel, and he knows he's going to get creamed. He knows he's going to be defeated. There's no way he can overpower 3-1 odds. And so he prays a prayer. Now, last week we read the first five verses, and I showed you what he did there. This week we're actually going to focus on the actual prayer. What I'm going to teach you right now, you should take this home and use it as a guide when you're praying three times a day. Now, you need a breakthrough in your life. I don't know where you need it. And until you know what you're praying for, you're not going to have one. If you don't know where you need a breakthrough, then you don't know that God can answer that. Now, you might need a breakthrough in your finances. You might need a breakthrough in your job or in your marriage or in your relationships. You want to get married, or you might need a breakthrough in your health or some area. It's any area that's not controllable. You can't control it. You can't manage it. And by the way, most of the important things in your life, you can't control and can't manage. So you're going to use this prayer a lot, but it's different from normal praying. And I mentioned this king, Jehoshaphat, that he had three enemy nations coming against him. There on your outline, we read this last week, these first five verses. It says this, 2 Chronicles 20. After this, they'd had a big spiritual revival in the nation, three enemy nations united to attack King Jehoshaphat. And spies told him a huge combined army is marching to Jerusalem right now to defeat you. That would be overwhelming. He can't do anything to stop it. Scared and worried, King Jehoshaphat resolved to seek the Lord. Resolved to seek the Lord. And he announced a nationwide fast. So then everyone came together to fast and to pray and to seek help from God. And when they all got to the temple in Jerusalem, they'd come from all over the nation, the king stood up and he prayed aloud. Now, this guy does three things right when he's in a crisis. You need to do these same things too. He prayed privately, he gets other people to pray, and then he prays publicly. And this is what you want to do when you're in a major crisis in your life. First, he prays privately. It says he resolved to seek the Lord. Now, instead of worrying, I got three enemies coming against me, and there's no way we're going to beat them. Instead of worrying, he worships. Instead of panicking, he prays. And he turns to God, and before he does anything else, it says he resolved to seek the Lord. He doesn't seek a consultant. He doesn't seek a business plan. He doesn't seek a bankruptcy advisor. He goes directly to God. And the very first thing he does in a crisis is he resolves to seek the Lord. Prayer should always be the first choice in your life, not the last resort. The first choice in your life, when you're facing a problem, should be pray about it, not the last resort. Too often, we act like prayer is the last thing you do. You say, well, all we can do now is pray. And somebody goes, has it come to that? Like, wow, it's that bad? All we can do is pray? No, it ought to be your first choice. And so he prays privately, and then he enlists others to pray. The entire country gets together to pray for God's help. There is power in group prayer. And in the days ahead, I'm going to teach you how to pray for everybody else in the church, because everybody else is going to be praying for you. Now, there's enormous power in this. It's like a chain letter. Now, why are we going to do this? Because in the book of Job, Job has everything fall apart. He has the crisis of all crises. Loses his kids, loses his health, loses his home, loses his job. He's wiped out. Very wealthy man. And the Bible in the last chapter of Job says God restored everything that Job had lost. Double fold. When he began to pray for his friends. It doesn't say God restored everything in Job's life when he began to pray for himself. But when Job began to pray for other people, God did a breakthrough in his life. And I want a breakthrough in your life. And as your spiritual coach, as your pastor, as somebody who loves you, I want to see a breakthrough in your life. I'm going to have to teach you how to pray this kind of prayer, and I'm going to teach you how to have to pray it for other people, so then other people will be praying it for you, and you can see the breakthrough that God wants to do. Now, this week we're going to look at Jehoshaphat's prayer, which is the rest of chapter 1 Chronicles chapter 20. Verse 3, it says, Jehoshaphat was afraid, so he set his face to seek the Lord. Now, you may be afraid about some problem in your life. That's okay. It's okay to be afraid. It's what you do with the fear. And it says here that what he did was he set his face to seek the Lord. Does that phrase sound familiar? We talked about it many times in the series on Daniel. Every time Daniel got in a crisis, he set his face to seek the Lord. You remember I told you that I learned after 41 years of marriage that when my wife speaks, I set my face to seek my wife. And I look at her, and she likes it when she talks to me that I'm looking at her. God does too. And so the Bible, this phrase is used all through the scripture. The Bible says Jesus set his face to look to God, to look to the cross, to look to Jerusalem. And so it just means turn your attention. Now, what do you do in a breakthrough prayer? Well, you do five things. These are the five things that he does. Write these down. Number one, the first thing you do is you start by focusing on God, not my problem. When you're in a crisis, it's natural to start saying, God, I'm in a crisis. And you start telling God all the crises as if he doesn't know it. God knows you're in a crisis. He knew you were going to be in the crisis long before you did, before you were even born. He knew that crisis would happen in your life. So you don't start your prayer by saying, God, here's my prayer. I need money. I need a wife. I need a new job. I need to get out of bankruptcy. Or whatever the crisis is, I need a healing. You start by focusing on God. And what do you do is exactly what this guy did. And he does four things here. You might write these down. First, in my prayer, I remind myself of God's greatness. Now, this is what you're going to do first when you're praying in a crisis, when you're praying for a breakthrough, when you're praying for something you cannot control. You don't focus on the problem, you focus on God's greatness. God, you're a great God. You're a big God. You're an amazing God. You're a loving God. You're a faithful God. God, you created the whole universe. This is not a problem for you. The bigger God gets in your mind, the smaller the problem becomes. And God says, nothing's too hard for me. All things are possible with God. So I start my prayer not by thinking about the problem, but by reminding myself of God's greatness. In verse 6, here's what he prayed. Oh, Lord, are you not the God who's in heaven? I mean, didn't you make this whole thing, the whole universe? Aren't you the God in heaven? You rule over every kingdom and every nation. And you are so powerful and mighty that nothing and no one can defeat you. I focus on God's greatness. Second, next thing I do is I remind myself of his power. I remind myself of God's unlimited power. And when I realize that God has all the power in the world, I don't have to have any power. God's got it all, and I can just trust him. And so in my prayer, I think of all the ways that God has helped me in the past, all the ways God has helped other people in the past, all the ways God has helped people in the Bible. And I go, remember when you did that? And remember when you did that? And remember when you did that? You had all the power to, you know, like you split the Red Sea, and you brought water to the thirsty people in the desert, but through a rock, and all these miracles that God has done. God, you're a miracle-working God. You're powerful. God, you're great, and God, you're powerful. And didn't you help me in the past? Yes, you did. And he says this in verse 7, and God, did you not drive out those who tried to keep us from living here when you brought us back home? What's he talking about? He's talking about the Exodus. Remember, God gave the land of Israel to Abraham. And he said, I'm going to make you a great nation. And they began to grow and grow. The Jewish nation began to grow and grow. Then there was a famine, and they disobeyed God, and they left their own country because there was food in Egypt, and the whole nation moved to Egypt, where they were enslaved for the next 400 years. It was a bad deal, bad decision. Finally, Moses brings them back to the promised land, back to the land that was given to them. And guess what? In those 400 years, other people had moved into their place. And they didn't want the Jews to come back. And they said, God, you gave us this land. And he said, God, didn't you drive out those who tried to keep us from coming back here, from living here? He said, you've helped us in the past. I remind myself of God's greatness, and I remind myself of God's power. And here's the third thing you do in a breakthrough prayer. You remind God, not yourself, you remind God of his promises. This is a real important key for you to get. In your prayer, you say, God, didn't you promise to help us? Didn't you promise to take care of us? Didn't you promise to meet all our needs? Haven't you promised? We've told you many times, there's like 4, 5, 6, 7,000 promises in this book, in the Bible. And in the next verse, he says, and God, by the way, did you not give us this promised land to your friend Abraham's descendants, that's us, to be theirs forever? So he's saying, God, you promised. Now, God loves to be reminded of his promises. We don't. If we're parents, we don't. I mean, if your kid comes to you and goes, Dad, you promised. You said, Dad, you said you'd do this. Mom, you promised. How can you break your promise? Because we're imperfect, because we're not always loving, and because we're not always in control. When our kids remind us of promises we've made to them, it's a pain. But it's not a pain to God. In fact, God loves when you come to him and say, hey, by the way, God, you said you'd answer prayer. By the way, God, you've said, you've promised to take care of all my needs. By the way, God, you've promised to care for me and to heal me in this situation. And God loves to have his word quoted back to him. Because this, he said, God, look, you said it right here. All I'm asking you to do is just keep your word. I'm your child, and Father, you said you'd do it. That's part of a breakthrough prayer. And so he said, God, I need your help. I'm asking you to keep your promises. And then finally, the fourth thing he does is he asks God for a breakthrough. He asks God for a breakthrough. And he says, God, in verse 10 to 12, our enemies want to destroy us. Will you not stop them from defeating us? Now, notice, in this prayer, he's very specific. He gives a very specific request. Here's the breakthrough I need. Do you know what you need to ask God? If you don't, God can't give it. Because you got to know what you want to ask for. So you need to clarify, where do I need a breakthrough in my life? Don't ever ask God, oh, God, bless my life. It's such a general, vague thing. How are you going to know if God did it or not? What is a blessing anyway? Could anybody right now give me a definition of a blessing? What is a blessing? Sometimes a blessing is a problem. It's a blessing in disguise, and it keeps you from a bigger problem. Is that what you're praying when you say, God, give me a lot of blessings, God, give me a lot of problems? You might want to be careful about asking God to bless you. It's very vague. It's very general. You can't actually measure it. But when you say, God, I need to get out of debt. God, I need a healing for this particular thing. God, I need this relationship to be healed. I need the conflict to end. That's measurable. That's specific. You'll know when that's happened. And so you ask God for a breakthrough. Now, that's all in just the first step. You start by focusing on God. You're great. You're good. You're powerful. You've made a bunch of promises, and so I'm asking you to do it again. Notice in that passage that Jehoshaphat asked four questions. He said, are you not God? Did you not help us in the past? Have you not made promises to us? And will you not do it again? You can pray those exact same things in your breakthrough prayer.
I am so grateful for that message by Rick, and I hope you are too. And now here's Rick to tell you how you can partner with Daily Hope to take the Word of God to the world.
There are nearly 8 billion people on this planet, and God wants us to reach every one of them with the gospel. Jesus said, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely, I'm with you always to the very end of the age." That's called the Great Commission. It often seems like mission impossible, but if we'll work together to fulfill the Great Commission, God will turn it into the Great Completion. You know, the Bible says that in heaven, an enormous crowd of people from every race, every tribe, every nation, and every language will one day stand before Jesus Christ to worship him. That's in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. And that's why I'm asking you, friends, to partner with Daily Hope by becoming a partner in hope. What is a partner in hope? Well, right now, we're able to take the good news of Jesus into almost every country of the world, including regions where it's difficult or dangerous to share the gospel. But thanks to your prayers and your financial support, we reach millions of people around the world every month through radio, the internet, podcasting, TV, and we're translating Daily Hope into 25 languages that enable us to reach over 80% of the world's population. That's because of your faithfulness. And yet, there are still billions of people that need to hear about the hope we find in Jesus. So please, pray about becoming a partner of hope today. Partners in Hope provide vital monthly support that will help us reach millions more people around the world, including these regions we're going to that have no Bibles, no believers, and no bodies of Christ. If God puts it on your heart, then please join us. Become a partner of hope today. With your first monthly donation, we'll send you a special gift to welcome you to the Partner in Hope family. Now, there's nothing more important that we can do together than to make sure people all around the world hear the good news of Jesus Christ and have a chance to grow in God's Word. Join us today as a partner in hope.
To become a partner in hope with convenient automated monthly giving, please go to PastorRick.com or text the word HOPE to 70309. And when you do, we'll send you a special welcome gift to say thanks. Again, that's PastorRick.com or text the word HOPE to 70309. And we can't tell you how much we appreciate your support. Thank you. We hope you'll join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.